You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. As wages in Boise struggle to keep pace with rising rent costs, more people are seeking shelter in their recreation vehicles and campers. And now, with COVID-19, that problem, well, it's becoming even more clear that homeless advocates and City of Boise are working together now to make sure that the people living in a house on wheels have access to the services they need through this pandemic. Boise Dev reporter Margaret Carmel recently wrote about this issue. She is joining us live now to talk more about it. Hi there, Margaret.
Thanks for having me.
So, Margaret, people are living in their RVs or cars is not new among Boise's homeless population. However, what is new is COVID-19. But can you talk to us about how this issue came about before the pandemic?
Sure. So folks who live in their RVs and, you know, maybe don't have a permanent address are not always necessarily what we would consider homeless. You know, maybe folks like that have the resources to go park their RV at a campground and to dump their sewage and to pay for electricity and things like that. For this story, we're specifically focusing on folks experiencing homelessness that do not have those types of resources. They're living in usually RVs and campers that are decades too old to be admitted to traditional RV parks and campgrounds. A lot of time there are issues with, they have no place to dump sewage tanks, no running water, and they're parking on the street in downtown Boise as well as in other neighborhoods. And this issue has become more visible during COVID-19 in Boise for multiple reasons. The first is, you know, we are seeing more people experiencing homelessness right now because of cuts in wages. But the folks that are typically living in these RVs, they're kind of chronically homeless. A lot of them have been homeless for a while, but they might be seeking out living in these really old and frankly dangerous RVs because of fear of living in a shelter because of COVID, because that environment is much more stressful than it was before. And also they're having to congregate closer to downtown in many cases, because that's where the services are. That's where the bathroom is. That's, you know, because businesses aren't open the way that they used to be. And that's where they can get food. And so the issue is popping up. It's just getting a lot more visible in the past few months.
So, Margaret, how does the City of Boise's anti-camping ordinance come into play here? I mean, are police giving people, repeated citations that go on their criminal record? What's going on in that regard?
So the issue of the camping ordinance is a little bit murky right now, because the city, under former Mayor Beter, appealed the decision of the lawsuit over that ordinance, which banned sleeping outside, to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court said they were not interested in hearing the case, and it was remanded back to the district level to sort out. And so that has still not totally settled. But as of now, the Eighth Circuit Court decision, which is saying a ban on sleeping outside is, it violates the Constitution, and it violates, you know, rules against cruel and unusual punishment. Mm-hmm. So, but what the City of Boise police, you know, decided to do is they're, instead of just citing people and giving them parking tickets, which essentially is the issue right now, because you're only allowed to park a car on a street for 3 days. So instead of going around and saying, okay, you've been parked for 3 days, let's give you some tickets, they were trying to figure out, okay, how do we set up outreach with folks with these nonprofits and tried to coax them into getting assistance either at the shelter or in some other way. Because, you know, in the words of Captain Birch from Boise Police Department, he said, we would keep talking to them, BPD would keep talking to them, keep issuing tickets, and the problem would just move around. Because technically, as long as these folks who are living in these RVs are moving every 3 days, they're not really violating the law. They are not sleeping on the street. They're not sleeping outside. And if they're moving every 3 days, you know, they're, what they're doing is not illegal. And mm-hmm. so Boise, you know, Boise police is, and the city is looking at this going, well, if we keep ticketing them, they're just going to keep moving around. So let's try to get to the heart of that, that issue instead of just moving it.
So you mentioned earlier that a lot of these vehicles are too old to go to campgrounds. You know, they don't have running water. There's nowhere to dump sewage. So Margaret, to your knowledge, I mean, are these vehicles safe for people to actually be living in?
So I think it depends, you know, vehicle to vehicle, but there has been a rise of complaints in Boise neighborhoods of folks who live in these RVs, leaving human waste, leaving other sorts of litter and trash. And so that's kind of what's driving this issue. But no, there are concerns about these vehicles, whether that's fire risk, sanitation risks. You know, you're talking about, this is different than the trendy, you know, millennials live in a van type of thing. Like this is, you know, RVs and things that barely get started. And sometimes they're piled high with these folks' belongings. They could, it really, the safety concern is an issue, especially since we have seen deadly fires from folks living in their cars from trying to use things like propane stoves to keep warm and other factors.
And I'm curious, I mean, you wrote in the story about COVID-19 bringing this issue kind of into sharper focus. How did all of this play together in that?
Yeah, so this issue is, there are more people who are experiencing homelessness who might have more fear of the shelter than they did before. Because in a homeless shelter, you're sleeping like less than a foot away from somebody sometimes. It's congregant living, you're sharing a bathroom, you're sitting in a cafeteria, and these shelters are doing the best they can with social distancing, keeping people, you know, sleeping every other bunk, moving folks out of the shelter to hotel rooms. But there are people, I think there are more people now who are more shelter resistant than they were before. And so, you know, if they get a line on one of these RVs to live in, they're saying, okay, maybe I might do that. Or maybe, and you know, sometimes it's just as simple as one gentleman I talked to who I interviewed in my story. He said, I don't want to go back to the shelter because I don't want anyone to tell me when to go to bed. I'm a night owl, you know? And so sometimes these things, these are folks who they want to be, they might, you know, the RV might be an unsafe type situation for them, but also they like being kind of in charge of their own, you know, not following the structure of the shelter.
Right. So I'm curious then, Margaret, are the number of people who live in these RVs growing since the pandemic, or is it simply that instead of being, you know, spread out across the city, people are congregating more in the downtown area?
I would say that I think it's been steadily growing over the past few months, like even prior to the pandemic. But it's become a lot more visible because people are congregating together around where there are resources, because there are fewer options. They're congregating in downtown because that's where the shelters are, the day shelters that are offering food, and things like that. I've also heard complaints that the Albertsons parking lot on Vista is a hot spot. Because, you know, if you park in the parking lot of a grocery store, you know, you can, they're open 24 hours. You can go in and use the bathroom, buy water, you know, things like that. That is not where I went out with the folks from Interfaith Sanctuary to write the story. So I've not seen that like with my own eyes, but I've heard multiple reports of the Vista Albertsons being a place where these folks park. And other places around the city. So it's forcing people to go where the resources are, which is then making them more visible. Whereas one kind of RV on the street, you might look at and go, maybe, I don't know what's up with that. But if you see, you know, five or six, okay, that's kind of raise more questions.
So you bring up a good point about, you know, things not being open, right? So certain services not being open, you know, like how people might use a restroom somewhere, that not being open. So then, A, what concerns are coming up when it comes to making sure that people who are homeless have access to things like healthcare, permanent housing options, employment support? So what's being done then to provide this support for them?
Yeah. So whenever I went out with the folks from Interfaith Sanctuary, a lot of their questions were, what do you need? What can we help you with? And some of the times that's simple as, do you have your identification? It's something a lot of people don't know is that whenever you're experiencing homelessness, it's really hard to get a driver's license or to get a passport or to get, you know, some sort of legal government documentation that you're going to need to open up the door to get food stamps. Or to get access to Social Security disability or Social Security if you are eligible for those types of benefits. And so a lot of it is, okay, going to people and just meeting them where they're at and saying, okay, what can we do to help you get connected to services, maybe so that you're in less of a crisis mode? And then once these folks, then they have a relationship with them. And as they talk to them over time, it's, okay, maybe I can help you get connected with someone at Terry Riley for appointments to help with your medical condition or to maybe get counseling for addiction. Or the conversation could be, hey, do you want to come back to the shelter? We have a program, you know, like Interfaith Sanctuary has a program for folks trying to get sober from various substances now that they maybe didn't used to have. Or, you know, they can direct them to, hey, have you talked to Catch about getting funding for housing? You know, and so there's this idea of street outreach where you go out to people and you say, hey, I get you're living outside, you're living in your car, but what can I do for you while you're here? And then once they build that relationship, then maybe they can get them to come into the shelter, which might be more, or to get them housing, which might be more effective than just, okay, we're gonna tow your vehicle. Because then that person is just gonna, they're end up gonna sleep on the street or sleep by the river or wherever they choose. And then they're just gonna buy a new vehicle. And then we're right where we started.
Right. Well, and so it seems, I mean, I think surface wise, Margaret, that, you know, hey, find folks housing or get them back in the shelter and everything will be fine. That's not always the case, though. I mean, you interviewed a gentleman, Scott Ruard, and he said he's not interested in, quote, better housing. He says he likes living in his RV. I mean, so we go back to that issue as well as, so does that piece come into the maybe not necessarily putting them back in the shelters, but that affordable housing aspect?
Right. And so, you know, homelessness is really complicated because it's really not as simple as just handing everybody a key to a house.
Right.
And because some folks have, you know, substance abuse issues or mental illness issues or, you know, a whole wide variety of things that might make housing, getting them into housing, there might be a lot of barriers there. Mm-hmm. Or they might want to choose to stay outside, or, you know, it's very, every situation is different. And so, you know, one idea that's come up, some cities have done this, is they've operated safe parking areas where they've created areas where, okay, if you live in these RVs, you want to live in your car, you can park in this area and we'll provide food and, you know, sanitation and then social work issue, you know, social work resources for folks. I think there, you know, there are some folks in Boise in the social work or nonprofit arena who might support that and say, hey, this is a really good way to get these folks off the streets and help, you know, stem the tide of complaints from property owners. But also, but then, you know, Maureen Brewer from the city said, you know, the city is not really quite on board with that yet, because we've seen in other areas of the country, cities like Seattle that operate those parking areas, then it just puts the problem all in one place and it sucks away. Then city and nonprofit resources are concentrating on that one area, and maybe they can't help other folks get into housing. And with as undermanned as these nonprofits are, and you know, it's hard to know what the right solution is. And
so before I let you go, Margaret, then I'm curious, is there a solution that the city is doing or homelessness advocates are pursuing to keep folks safe?
So right now, I think they're just in talks trying to figure out exactly what is the best way to handle this issue. Right now, the first step was to just send out these teams of folks from the nonprofit and the city to just go out and just make a connection and try to meet people where they are and figure out if there's a way to mitigate these impacts instead of, like I said, just issuing parking ticket after parking ticket. But, you know, there isn't really a proposal yet beyond that. This is a very new effort. One thing that Interfaith Sanctuary Executive Director Jody Peterson Steiger's proposed, you know, she's wondering about is, should there be a temporary storage area for folks to put their vehicle in for 30 days while maybe they come into the shelter, they go to detox, or they go to a hotel room or something to get them more stably housed. So then they can get over that fear of, I don't want to lose my vehicle. But again, that was just an idea. That was just a proposal. And the city has in no way signaled support for safe parking areas, for storage areas of RVs and vehicles, homeless camps, sanctioned homeless camping areas, anything like that. I just want to put the squelch on that right now. The city has not said they support anything of that nature.
Well, I want to thank you for your reporting, Margaret, and for coming on the program today. We've been talking with Boise Dev reporter Margaret Carmel. We will, of course, link Margaret's full story on our website, boisestatepublicradio.org. Always good to have you in, Margaret.
Thank you so much.
Thanks. More Idaho Matters next.